Let's ask ourselves this. Why is there such a huge difference in the results that people achieve? Because you know there is. You know people who are nowhere near as bright as you are, and they're doing better than you're doing. It is true. You've got to ask yourself, why do I get frustrated? How come I've got to think if I can afford it? Then the next thought, well, it's not realistic to think you can just get what you want. Yes, it is. That's realistic. If you understand the laws and you understand your relationship with the laws and you understand who you are. Here's an interesting point. What is your name? Yeah.
Mariah.
That's a pretty name. Now, most people would say you're black, wouldn't they? And most people would say I'm white, wouldn't they? Yeah. The truth is, if you ever saw a white person, you'd probably run. That's true. I don't think I have ever seen a white person. Nor do I think I've ever seen a black person. Why do we say I'm white? And why do we say Mariah's black? Because we've been programmed to say that. We don't see with our eyes. We see with cells of recognition in our brain. And we're programmed. Those brain cells are programmed at a very early age. And then we're taught she's different than me. Why is she different? Well, first of all, she's female, female body, and she's black and I'm white. I'm going to tell you something. I have traveled all over the world. I've gone into many different countries and many different cultures. And this I have learned. We are all the same. When it comes to the essence of who we are all spiritual beings. We live in a physical body. We have a marvelous mind. We have creative faculties. And we have the ability to develop them. And there's no end to what we're capable of doing. Our only problem is ignorance. We've got to quit seeing with these old cells of recognition. Let's reprogram ourselves. Let's rewire our brain. Let's see in the light of truth. You know what culture is? I'll tell you what culture is. It's group habit. I'll give you an idea of culture. A habit is something you do without giving any conscious thought to it. I was born and raised my first 10 years in Owen Sound, Ontario. That's 25 miles north of here. My wife was born and raised in Pensacola, Florida, and Birmingham, Alabama. Two totally different cultures. Around 30 years ago, we got together, we're out shopping, and I said, you know what I'd like? Turnip. She's okay. So I picked one up, and she said, what are you going to do with that? Well, I said, we're going to eat it. Well, she said, I'm not eating that. That's the root of the turnip. And I says, what? She says, it's the root of the turnip. In all my life, I had never thought of it as a root. It was just a turnip. But I knew what a root was. I'm thinking of the root of a tree or something. I said, well, what do you eat? Well, she said, we eat the green. We feed that to the pigs. Well, he said, isn't that the damnedest thing? We give the green to the pigs. No, I mean, we were still new lovers. And the hell, I'm not going to fight over a turnip. So I put it back in the bin, and I start walking through the store. I thought, you know, it's really no big deal. Just a turnip. But then I thought the principle behind this is huge. I started to think, I wonder who decided we'd eat the root of the turnip. I wonder if Mom, and I don't think Mom decided, I wonder if Grandma. No. Then I wondered, how far back would I have to go in our family to find out who decided we would eat the root of the turnip and throw away the greens? I have never eaten a turnip green. Then I started to think, how far back in her family would I have to go to figure out who decided they'd eat the greens? And it really dawned on me that some ancient ancestor decided on some of our habits. If I come in here in a skirt, you'd probably say, the guy's got a skirt on. But if you're in Nandi or some other Asian country, you would think nothing of me coming in here in a skirt. Culture. Culture is group habit. What's the difference? Here it is. What's holding people back? There's your answer. They're stopped by old paradigms. Joel Barker wrote a book on paradigms. If you're not familiar with the word, get used to it because it's a powerful word. He said to ignore the power of paradigms to influence your judgment is to put yourself at risk when exploring the future. I talked to a couple of people at the back that are locked in at a certain income and they're having difficulty changing it. It's the paradigm that's keeping you locked in. When I first met my wife, she was selling insurance in Atlanta. She was earning $24,500 a year. I said, listen, you're being controlled by paradigms. You're being controlled by somebody else's idea. I said, why would you work all year for $24,500? I said, do what I tell you and you'll get an increase in income. She made a commitment over the coming year. She earned $495,000. What is a paradigm? What are they? Paradigm's a multitude of habits. Now get this. This is really strange. They're other people's habits. We've inherited them. Where do you think they come from? They've been given to us by the people that raised us. They've been given to us in our genes. It's called genetic conditioning. And then environmentally, when we're born. That's why almost all welfare recipients are third, fourth, fifth generation welfare recipients. I did work around prisons for quite a while, and you're going to find the recidivism rate in prisons up around 85-90%. They go to jail, they stay there. They're on the street for a few months, they're back in, on the street, and they're back in. It's their paradigm that's taking them back there. They don't want to, but that's where they go. Now, the question is, can I change the paradigm? And the answer is an emphatic yes. Now, this is essentially what I run into with Ray Stanford many years ago. And I was losing, I was going in the wrong direction. He convinced me that I could change. I really didn't believe I could. And when he convinced me, I had hope. Now understand this. I was earning $4,000 a year, I owed six. I had no formal education, I had no business experience. If I had taken every cent I earned for 18 months to pay debt, I would have just broken even and I'd have had nothing to live on. I didn't have any hope. I really didn't think it would ever change. And the idea of even thinking of changing it never entered my mind. He's the one that got me to believe. Listen, he says, that's why you can't. We're going to focus on how you can. And understand this, when you have hope, you have options. When you have no hope, you have no options. Now, this I call a magical graphic. I want you to think of this for a moment. Think of your house, and an image will come on the screen of your mind. Think of your refrigerator, and an image will come on the screen of the mind. Think of your bedroom, and an image will come on the screen of the mind. Think of a loved one, and an image will come on the screen of the mind. Now think of your mind. What picture do you get? You didn't get one. You know why you didn't get one? You have no cells of recognition in your brain for the mind. Now, if I asked you to think of your car, you get a picture. What color is it? How big is it? Big? Small? Small. Two doors? Four doors? Four doors. You didn't have any difficulty telling me that. What color is your refrigerator? White. Two doors? Four doors? One door? Two doors. You're not really sure. You're confused. Is it your refrigerator? All right. But you see, you got a picture of it. Now, let me explain what happened. When I said your automobile, your refrigerator, I activated vocal cords. I set up a vibration. Your hearing sense picked up that vibration. It rifle-fired that light message down a nerve passageway, struck a group of cells in your brain. They were activated, and the picture that was in them flashed on the screen of the mind. Think of your front door. Think of your clothes closet. You see how fast we can make pictures come up? When I said, think of your mind, no picture. Now, Solomon many years ago said, where there's no picture, the people will perish. See, if there's no image, there's confusion. Let's suppose I asked you to help me change the setup of this room. And you all agree you will. I said, okay, let's go. You'd stand up and probably grab the back of the chair and say to somebody, what's he want us to do? You say, I don't know, ask him. No, you ask him. And we'd have a bunch of rambling conversation going on and nobody knowing what to do. But if I said, let's make that the front of the room, this is the back of the room, nothing flat, we'd have it all changed. Why? We're all operating with the same picture. Well, there was a doctor in San Antonio, Texas, around 1935, I think it was, 34, 35, that was very involved in the healing arts, and he started to realize that they weren't making any headway because what they were doing was treating symptoms. If you have a problem in your body, the problem is a symptom. It's not the problem. It's the expression of the problem. And he said, what we're doing is we're treating people physically. He said, we should treat the whole person. Emerson, many years ago, said the doctor of the future will use no medicine. So at any rate, he said, our problem is we don't have an image of the mind. You should treat the body, mind, and soul. You want to treat the whole person. That's called holistic health. And he said, since we don't have a picture, I'm going to make one. He said, let that represent the mind and the body. Now, the top half will represent the conscious mind and the bottom half the subconscious mind. I could take you to medical doctors in this area. I could take you to heads of corporations in this area or all over the world that will tell you that has to be one of the most valuable graphics that they have ever seen. Because what it does, it brings order to your mind. I had been studying this for 9 years. I was working in Chicago. I heard about a man in Vancouver and that was teaching. The guy said, you got to go, Proctor. He's teaching what you want to know. So I jumped on a plane and went out there. And the second this guy got up to speak, I knew that he knew what he was talking about. He spoke with such conviction. I mean, there was no doubt in his mind. He didn't just believe it. He knew it. And I made up my mind I was going to get to know him. I went up to him after the meeting and I asked him, I said, I'd like to get together with you for a couple hours. He said, you know, I'd probably like to get together with you too. But he said, looked at his watch, he says, I got to catch a plane. I said, well, I got to catch a plane too. I didn't mean now. And he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. He said, where are you from? I said, Chicago. He said, what are you doing out here? I said, I come out to hear you. I think he was impressed that I had traveled so far to see him. And I said, listen, if I had to walk out, I would have walked for what I learned. Well, any rate, we made an appointment. He said, I'm not going to be in Chicago anytime in the near future. He said, but I am going to Toronto. I said, I'm from Toronto. I said, I'll come over. So we sat down in the Skyline Hotel, which is renamed now. I'm not sure what it is. But at any rate, what was supposed to be a two-hour meeting turned into 3 days. And he said to me, he said, you live simultaneously in three planes of understanding. I said, I know that. He said, no, you don't. He said, if you know that, you wouldn't ask some of the questions. He said, you just say that, but you don't understand it. He said, why don't you shut up and listen to me? I thought, well, okay. Then he smiled. He was a unique character. That was a way of getting my attention. Well, he had my attention. And then he drew this picture. Now he said, let the top half represent the conscious mind. That's the mind part you think with. The bottom half is your emotional mind. Now you see, the top half is where you choose your thoughts and you think in pictures. You impress those pictures upon the subconscious and then the body moves into action. Your actions expressed in feelings and your actions produces results. Now, what do we want to change? We want to change the results. Understand the results are symptoms. They're effects. And if we're going to change the results, we've got to go back and change the cause. So let's look at it this way. The conscious mind has the ability to choose. It can think. It's a thinking mind. It has the ability to accept or reject. You have the ability to build any picture you want of you on the screen of your conscious mind. You can see yourself as a super effective individual, or you can see yourself as sort of a ne'er-do-well, doesn't do much. But it's what you think of yourself that's going to determine where you're going to go. Now, most people let their history dictate what they think of themselves. Your conscious mind has the ability to accept or reject any idea that comes along. Now, your subconscious mind doesn't have that ability. Your subconscious mind is totally subjective. It has no ability to choose, it cannot reject, and it must accept. This is so important. I could be giving you an idea that would literally change your life and you could reject it. Why? Because you don't let it in this part of the mind. Now you say, well, why wouldn't I let it in that part of the mind? Because that part of the mind is already programmed and you don't want to change the programming. Now the truth is, consciously, you'd love to change it, but you're letting the program control you. Now, that's your emotional mind. It cannot reject. It must accept. It's totally subjective. I could put an idea in your subconscious mind that your body is stiff and rigid and you wouldn't be able to move it. I could put an idea in your subconscious mind that you'll feel no pain and we could extract a tooth and it wouldn't hurt you. I could put an idea in your subconscious mind that you won't bleed. I could cut you and you won't bleed. You'll say, well, I don't really believe that. You don't have to believe that. You have the ability to reject it. That's what I just said. Our problem is we reject the good information, yet we accept the bad information. Somebody says the market's going down, the economy's going to hell in a handbasket, and we buy into it. You're going to find people in real estate. Some of the people in the worst market in the world will earn millions, and some in the best can't sell anything. It's what's going on in our head. There's how we arrived on the scene. Remember what we just said? We said the subconscious mind has no ability to reject. It'll accept anything. Well, there's how you arrive. That's why you speak the language you speak. That's why you like the food that you like. Why do we eat the root of the turnip? That's why. And see, whatever's going on around that baby's mind is wide open at birth, and you can program it any way you want. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you observe your behavior, you're going to find that almost all of the actions you're involved in, you didn't program them in there at all. Somebody else did. That's why As a Man Thinketh is such a phenomenal book. You want to go to that asmanthinketh.net, not .com, .net. Investigate it. It is loaded with powerful stuff. The little book As a Man Thinketh, it was written a long time ago, around 1903, by James Allen. It is a classic. I could do a seminar that would last for a week on that little book. I've been studying it inside out now since 1972. Now, ideas that go in over and over and over become fixed. A fixed idea is a habit. A habit is an idea that you act on without any conscious thought. Now, this is where the conditioning comes from. You have an image of yourself. You're conditioned to see yourself as you see yourself. What you think of you. I always thought myself that I couldn't win. I never thought I could get a half-decent job. I didn't even look for one because I didn't think anybody would hire me for a good job. I had very low opinion of me. Why did I? Somebody must have put it there. I didn't grow up and think bad of myself because I enjoyed it. I had to change that picture. The conditioning is called a paradigm. Now understand that a paradigm is a multitude of habits that have been fixed in your subconscious mind. Now after they're fixed there and the child starts to think, what do they think? They're going to think thoughts that are in harmony with the paradigm. If the paradigm's controlling the behavior and the behavior's producing the result, yet a person's earning $50,000 a year and they can think anything they want, are they going to think the thoughts of a person that's earning $50,000 a month? No. Won't even be realistic. They'll think you're crazy. I'm going to tell you something. If I could only earn $50,000 a month, I would not get out of bed. I'd stay there until I figured out how to do a heck of a lot more. Now get this. There's a power flowing into your consciousness while I'm talking to you. And you can do anything you want with that power. Anything you want. You can make any picture you want. Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist, spent the war years in a camp. And he said it was while he was in that camp that he gained an understanding that no one could cause him to think something he didn't want to think. And that's what enabled him to keep going. He wrote a marvelous book called Man's Search for Meaning. Now think this. You're a spiritual being. You live in a physical body. Most people think they're physical. You'll often hear people say they've had a spiritual experience. That's a bunch of jazz. You are having a physical experience. You are spiritual. And you've been blessed with an intellect. And it's how you use your intellect that's going to dictate your emotional state. Now look at it this way. Spirit is 100% evenly present in all places at the same time. There's nowhere where spirit is not. That idea is so big that we can't grasp it. Our consciousness cannot grasp infinite. But let's understand this. It's big. There is an infinite source of supply. Now, spirit operates by law. Let these lines represent levels of vibration or frequencies. Everything vibrates. We live in an ocean of motion. That wall is moving. It appears to be still, but it's really not. A body in a coffin is moving. It's not dead. If nothing's created or destroyed, and all science and theology teach that, you have to postulate the theory there's only one concept, and that's life. You move into your body, you move out of it. It's never dead. Go pick up the remains, look at it through a microscope. You'll see it moving right in front of your eyes. That's not dead. Yet if it wasn't moving, how would it ever change to dust? We've got to start to think who we are, what we're capable of doing. Now get this. The spiritual side of you is the highest side. That's where your power is. The physical side is the lowest side. That is the manifestation of this power. Spirit always manifests through its polar opposite, the physical. Now, you've been gifted with an intellect, and through the use of your intellectual factors, you can tap into the spiritual side and change the physical. Now, here's something else we want to grasp. Nothing is separated. We talk about, is Mariah being black, me being white? She's not black, I'm not white. I'll tell you something else. We're connected. Everything in the universe is connected. See, every level of vibration or every frequency is hooked up to the one above and the one below. There is no line of demarcation. Everything's connected. Why do you think the law of attraction works? The only thing you're going to attract to you are the things that are in harmonious vibration with you. Now, here's another way of looking at it. There's the spirit, the intellect, and the physical. Now, understand you've got these intellectual factors. You kick one into gear. Could be your thinking factor or your imagination. You kick it into gear, and you tap into the spiritual world. We're spirit. Spirit's omnipresent. We're thought. Thought's omnipresent. Do you know that thought waves are cosmic waves that penetrate all time and space? There is nothing, nothing. There's no power that's greater than thought. Thought will penetrate everything, all time and space. And you can think. We can take this power and send it wherever we want. We tap in with our intellect, and we pull the thoughts together, and we build ideas. No one can stop you from building an idea. And the idea by law begins to move into form. That's the transmutation of energy. Ask any science. Energy is forever moving into form, through form, and back into form. Now, in religious terms, that's called prayer. Most people think this is prayer. God help me. That's making a noise on your knees. Prayer is the movement that takes place between spirit and form with and through us. Just ask and you'll receive. What? Whatever you ask for. How do you get it? Well, first you get it in thought. Then you get it in ideas. And then you get the thing. And it all happens by law. And you're doing it with your own marvelous mind, with your own great intellectual factor. Here you are here. There's the mind. Let's divide it. Two parts. Okay? Conscious mind, subconscious. Okay? Now, what are we programmed to do? We're programmed to live through our senses. We go by what we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. They're like little antennae. Okay? And that's how we're programmed to live. As a little kid, will you listen to what I'm telling you? We let our bank account control us. We get a report card, and the report card tells the teacher, the parent, and the student what kind of a student they are. What a bunch of jazz that is. That's a bunch of crap. That's not true at all. The report card tells you where the kid's mind was at for a very short period of time, maybe 3 weeks ago. Nothing to do with potential. I went to Balmy Beach Public School. When I left grade 8, Miss Strawn said to me, "Where are you going, Bob?" And I said, "To Malvern." Oh, she said, "Don't go to Malvern, Bob. Go to Danforth Tech and learn a trade." I was only there about a week. I damn near cut my thumb off. The thing was dangling. I was screaming. There was blood everywhere. I have difficulty getting the top back on toothpaste. Learn a trade. She said, "You'll never do well in the business world." I couldn't get a job in IBM sweeping floors. Because I only have 2 months high school formal education. But you know a strange thing? They will pay me more money for an hour than they pay most managers for a month. You can do anything. You just have to figure out how it's going to happen. Now look it. The conscious mind is also the intellectual mind. And you have intellectual factors. We've got to start to use our higher faculties. We've got perception. Zoe, I'm telling you, there's nothing printed on this book. Am I right or wrong? There's nothing printed on it.
No, right.
I'm right. There's nothing printed on it. Do you see anything?
No.
You don't see anything on the book?
Not here. Inside there's something.
There's nothing printed.
Blank.
Okay. There's something printed on the book.
Yeah.
So I'm not wrong. See? The side you were looking at it, there was nothing on it. The side I was looking at, there was something on it. You know what we're doing? We're both looking at the same thing. We're looking at the outside of a book. The right side to me is the left side to you. That's called perception. Just because another person's got an opposite point of view, that doesn't mean they're wrong. And we have to start to understand this. Everything has an opposite. There's a front to the book and a back, a right and a left, a top and a bottom. And you can't have one without the other. Most people have perception problems. Some people would rather be right than be rich. You have the will. People with a strong will stay on course. Do you know what the will is like? The will to the mind is like a magnifying glass as with the sun. It takes that energy and marshals it and brings it to a white-hot bead. If you were to come into my home, I've got a couple of statues of Napoleon there. One, he's on a horse. It's an antique, great big thing. You couldn't hardly lift it. Another one, of course, he's standing. Now, I don't think Napoleon was a particularly nice guy, but I'm going to tell you something. He has a highly evolved mind. He had a highly evolved will. One of his biographers called him organized victory. Another one said he had immense capacity for sustained concentration. Napoleon said, I see only the object of the obstacle must give way. You see, if you make a decision, and you make a decision with your mind, you've got to make a commitment. If you really want to change, you've got to follow the advice of people that know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about in this area. Now, don't take me into an area I don't know about. I don't know the area that Eli Palmer does. He knows how to get the body in great shape. You have memory. There's no such thing as a bad memory. Everybody has a perfect memory. There's no such thing as a bad memory. There's only weak memories. But this is like a mental muscle that you can develop, and of course you have reason. Now the intuitive factor is that part that just picks up the energy and reads the person. We've got all these powers and we don't use them. Now how we use them is going to dictate our emotional state, and that's going to dictate the vibration the body's in. Because the body's a molecular structure that vibrates. You have your thinking mind, that's where dreams are formed. And you take those dreams and you turn them over to the subconscious mind. When you turn them over to the subconscious mind, that's where the emotions are. And it stirs your feeling. You get a great big beautiful picture you're emotionally involved with. There's good things going on. The body moves into a great vibration. It causes it to act. The universe reacts. Your reaction alters the conditions, the circumstance, and the environment, or what we call results. Now, the more you study this, the more you understand this, the more your life changes. In our coaching program, we take you through a whole year, step by step, take you through every program. Every week, you're on calls. You're going to be masterminding with people from various countries around the world. You'll develop a rapport that is unreal. But I guarantee at the end of the year, you're going to be a different person. That family is going to be a different family come a year from now. Now look it. We want to change our world. We want to change the image of ourselves. If you're going after what you want, you've got to fantasize. All right? We've been trained as little kids not to. You've got to take a fantasy, and then you turn the fantasy into a theory. We see ourselves being the way we want to be. When I started to study this, I was a quiet, shy, withdrawn person. Now some of you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to. I told you, consciously you can reject anything that you hear. But that was my nature. And if you talk to anybody that knows me, they'll tell you, no, that's right. The idea of standing up in front of an audience scared the living daylights out of me. It not only scared me, my whole nervous system would get screwed up. My chin would start to run around my face, my throat, big lump in it, my eyes would get misty. I'd have to sit down. I couldn't even talk. I could not stand up in a room and ask a question. But I had studied this for so long, and I knew so much about it, and I would hear people speak that didn't know what they were talking about. They were going down the wrong path, and I thought, I am going to teach this. So you know what I did? I built a fantasy. I started to see myself doing what I'm doing. I did it in the car. I run seminars in the car. I would go to bed and I would do seminars. I'd see myself with large audiences. I would see myself openly expressing whatever was going on in my mind. I would not be dominated by an audience. I was in charge. Now, I was still scared as hell to get up in front of anybody. But that was my fantasy. And I turned the fantasy then into a theory. Now, before the theory can turn into an image, I have to ask a couple of questions. Am I able to do this? Well, if you start to understand that you're a spiritual being, that you've been blessed, God-given intellect, all these factors, you'd have to say, yes, I can do it. I can do anything. anything. See, the way to build the internet has always been here. The way to fly airplanes has always been here. It took somebody to know that they were able to do it. They could see it, they could do it. If you can visualize it, you can do it. Then you have to ask, am I willing? Am I willing to pay the price? If I'm not willing to pay the price, I don't deserve the reward. I was willing to do whatever had to be done. I had a very successful company. I left it. I moved my whole family to Chicago. I took a job at $18,000 a year. I'd been earning a few hundred before that. 5 years later, I was earning $33,000. I was prepared to pay them to let me work there. I just wanted to get an education. I wanted to know more about this. I wanted to know why we're doing what we're doing. Why do we say she's black and I'm white? She's not black and I'm not white. Why do we say that a person with a low IQ can't win? That's a bunch of nonsense. IQs are almost like thermometers. The wind changes and the IQ changes. When we say yes to those two questions, we got a new picture of ourselves. Then we start to get emotionally involved in that. And I started to see me as that new person. And I'd see me just strutting around the front of the room. Pretty soon I was able to stand up. And I was able to talk to small groups. And the small groups became bigger groups. And now we've taught this up 10, 15,000 people at a time. And I built an image. I saw myself running a company that operated all over the world. Now we have a company that operates all over the world. And I got a new image now. I see that company getting bigger and getting stronger. And that's what we're doing. We're getting bigger and getting stronger. I see us teaching this to tens of thousands of people. And you know something? That's exactly where it's going. Because that's the image. And when you impress it upon your subconscious, that is the universal subconscious mind. It takes whatever you give to it and moves it into form with and through you. And it turns into a fact. And when that happens, you're in a position then to build a bigger and better fantasy. Now, folks, that's called a creative process. And you're a creative being. Now, if this is the first time you've heard this, you're going to forget most of this by tomorrow morning. But that's okay. You'll remember that there was something here that was really good. And you're going to remember that Vic brought this to you. You're going to think, I wonder what else I could get from him. Go look at his site. You could learn all kinds of things. There's no end to what you're capable of doing. Absolutely none. And then you start to see that that old paradigm is affecting your thinking. You got to get that new self-image into the subconscious. Understand that paradigms influence your thinking. Paradigms can control what you do. You've got all the knowledge. You've got knowledge in your conscious mind. I talked to a young lady at the back in the financial business, and she knows that she knows how to do a lot more business, but she's stuck. And she's stuck because the paradigm keeps her stuck. It's not the knowledge. She could forget most of what she knows, and she could still multiply her income. See, school gave us the knowledge. However, school never showed us how to alter the old paradigms. Therefore, we don't do what we already know how to do. Now, here's seven levels of consciousness. I'm going to show you what happens. Here on this lower level, you react to everything. On the higher level, you respond. On the lower level, when you react, it's fight or flight. On the higher level, it's think and plan. Now, we move from this animalistic state. Some people never go beyond this state. They just move in mass. They do whatever the crowd's doing. Mass consciousness. Well, then we want to move out of that. We have a desire for something greater. Why do we desire something greater? Because the individual side of us wants to express our uniqueness. You see, you are unique. There's something in you that you'll never find anywhere else. No one can do what I do. When somebody says, what's the added value? Let them know I am the added value. I never compete with anybody in this field. I don't even know what most of the people in our industry are doing. I only know they're not doing what I'm doing. How could they do what I'm doing? They're not me. We're unique. Every one of us. So here we got this desire. On one side, we're being pulled. We want to express our uniqueness. The other side, the paradigm's trying to hold us back. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not going to slow down. You see, this side is trying to pull us here. It wants us to grow. Say, yeah, I'd like to do that. Of course I'd like to earn millions. Gosh, what I could do with those millions. And the old paradigm saying, You couldn't do that. They're like monkeys in our head and they're controlling us. Well, get this. If you're going to move ahead, you've got to do what I did a number of years ago. Even though I was scared and shy, I said, I am going to acquire the personality that's required to do what I want to do. I will not stay where I am. You've got to discipline yourself. Now, I spent years in the Navy, and I'm going to tell you, there was times when I didn't like anybody in the Navy. They told me they were teaching me discipline. They were masochistic, and they were punishing me because I wouldn't do what they said. It wasn't discipline. It was a form of punishment. Discipline is when we give ourselves a command and then follow it. And if you're going to break out of this, you've got to give yourself a command. This is what I'll do. And then you step out and do it. And your actions are going to change the result. But understand this. It's not the actions that you're programmed with. It's new actions. And when you act on those new actions, it's like a transformation takes place in your life. Your whole world changes and you live up there. You respond to what's going on. It's a beautiful thing. You got so much power. Here's what's happening with people. We know they have a thinking mind. We know they have a feeling mind. And we understand that the vibration sets up the action and the action produces the result. Now pay particular attention here. The thinking mind gets inundated with what's going on outside. And what we confuse ourselves with thinking is nothing but mental activity. The mental activity sets up a vibration that's called confusion, and that causes results that we don't want. Mental activity is not thinking. You're letting the TV, the radio, somebody's opinion, all this stuff go on in your mind, and it sets up a mental activity. Here's the mind. Power flows in. You can build an image. But understand this. That image is never going to see the light of day until you make up your mind you're going to change the paradigm. How do you change the paradigm? It's the repetition of studying this. You see, the body moves into action on what? On the paradigm, not on the image. The paradigm sets up the vibration. The image is fixed in your subconscious mind, controls your vibration. Your vibration controls what you attract into your life. Now see, here's the problem. You're not getting the results you want. You're building the image and you think, what's going wrong? The paradigm has to change. Because you see, the paradigm must be altered before you see the new image and the image move into form and give you the results. This is tricky stuff. There's a power flowing to and through you. It flows into and through every one of us. We've got the ability to build the image. We can put that image in our subconscious mind. And that sets up the vibration and it sets up the attraction. And our life changes. You can get that image in your subconscious mind in spite of the paradigm if you know what you're doing. That's really what all our material teaches. That's everything that Vic's giving you. That's the way it works. Your life is going to change just the same as trees grow. How many believe that there's an oak tree and an acorn? Hold up your hand if you believe that. It's not true. How many times do you have to get caught before you stop holding up your hand? There is no oak tree in an acorn. The oak tree is planted in the earth. There's earth jammed right up against the acorn, those little dots. It will not mix with the acorn. Why? It's not in harmony with the acorn. Think of this for a moment. I want you to imagine that I put 2 drops of water on a glass top table. Maybe I have 4 or 5 of them. And I push them together till they touch, Eric. What happens? Make one. One bigger one. And if I push another drop over until it touches, it becomes a bigger drop, doesn't it? The drop expands. The water expands. What are the odds of me separating that bigger drop into the same little mass of molecules that originally started out? Pretty slim. Pretty slim. What God hath joined together gives it a whole new meaning, doesn't it? Well, understand that that acorn is a mass of molecules in a very high speed of vibration. The acorn has jammed into it a pattern plan, the nucleus that controls the vibration. And that acorn is energy. And it sets up an attractive force, and there's particles of earth that are on the same frequency as the acorn that are attracted to the acorn. And as they hit the acorn, like the drops of water, they become one with the acorn. That causes the acorn to expand. Then the roots come out of the bottom, and eventually it comes through the top, and it starts to attract from the atmosphere energy that's in harmony with the acorn. There's a pattern plant in the seed that controls the vibration of the seed. The energy that created the oak tree was always here. It's in harmony with and was attracted to the seed. So if you start to understand that the acorn is in the earth, the oak tree is in the universe, and the law of attraction brings them together. Now, if nothing's created or destroyed, everything that you want is already here. But if you're going to get what you want, you've got to get in harmony with it. Yet, if you don't get in harmony with it, you're not going to attract it. Now, I want to suggest that you take a look at your life. You take a look at your relationships. Take a look at the health of your body. Take a look at your income. Is it what you want? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's what you're attracting. And if you want to change it, you better change your vibration. And as you change your vibration, what comes to you will change. You want to earn millions? You got to see yourself earning millions. You want to live in a healthy body? You got to see yourself in a healthy body. Now, if you really want to make things happen, look at this as the presentation of what can happen. What Vic did this morning and what I'm doing this afternoon is really designed to create an awareness. We're not going to change you here today. But we're going to create an awareness of what you can do. You can earn millions of dollars. You can have dynamic friends. You can be living in a very healthy body. Your whole world can keep getting better and better. All right. I want to thank you very much for your attention. I'm going to leave you with a poem. It's a poem that I put in a book. It's called The One and Only You. And as I go through this poem, I want you to think of yourself. It says, every single blade of grass and every flake of snow is just a wee bit different. There's no two alike, you know. From something small, like grains of sand, to each gigantic star, each one was made with this in mind, to be just what they are. How foolish then to imitate, and how useless to pretend when each one of us comes from a mind whose ideas never end. There'll only be just one of me, to show what I can do. And likewise, you should feel really proud that there's only one of you. Because that's where it all starts. With you, a wonderful, unlimited human being. I want to thank you very much for your attention. And I'll turn it back over to the Imperial Potentate, Mr. Vic Johnson.
All right. Yeah, stand up. He deserves it. He deserves it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Bob Proctor, big hand. Awesome job. Awesome, awesome, awesome.